Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go.
And welcome, guys, and welcome along to another fantastic episode of the Irish Photography Podcast. We have a very, very special episode here today, as we have been generously, is that even, I'm terrible at words.
I think you will find it generously.
Generously invited down to Hain & Industries by Chris Hainel. Thank you very much, Chris, for inviting us down.
You're very welcome, and welcome to Hain & Industries.
Thank you. And I'm always here beside my buddy, as usual, Darren J. Spoonley. How are you, pal?
I'm wonderful. J is for John, don't forget it.
Okay, John. We'll call you John from now on.
No, no problem. I've been called worse than you, that's a true story. Yeah?
Well, you are from Wales, so...
Yeah. Half Welsh.
Brilliant. So, Chris, can you tell us a little bit about Chris Hainel, where you came from and how Hainel Industries started?
Imagine with a name like Hainel Industries, we're not originally from Ireland. I'm proud to say I'm third generation in this business, and it all actually started in retail. My grandfather ran a traditional camera store in Cologne back in the 1950s. My father took over from him, started some product design, and in the mid 70s decided that he was open a small factory here in Ireland to start producing some of the products that he was designing. And at the time, there was a huge transition in technology between a video technology called Super 8, and that was superseded by what at the time was VHS and Betamax technology. And all this technology transition and transformation caused us a lot of changes as a company and challenges as a company, and it all ended up as Cork being our head office. The family arrived in 77, even though the factory, which it was at the time, opened in 1975. We started here producing some products for the Super 8 market, then decided to go into some video lighting products and also produce some slide viewers here. So it was really a proper manufacturing company that we started here in the 70s. Today, we've probably gone full circle to where we started. We're today a design company. All we do here in Bandon is product design, packaging, marketing, instruction manuals, safety certification, all those things that we need to do to bring a product to market. And all the manufacturing is done by our subcontractors in China.
Brilliant. And like, going back there a small bit, you said that you went from Super 8 and, like I said, you superseded from VHS. So like, technology even today is changing so rapidly. But back then, you almost like, you had to reinvent yourselves to stay in the market and stay relevant. And hey, it's 2018 and you're still here today, so it's a massive success story. Like, was it challenging at the time?
Absolutely. And it's funny as you look back how things can repeat themselves. You know, this transition from Super 8 to video has an awful lot of parallels to what happened between analog and digital. Basically, where you have new technology that comes to the market, which renders anything that's come before completely and utterly obsolete. And yes, that brings challenges. That brings challenges to the people that are involved in this legacy technology. But it also brings challenges for the people that are kind of, you know, in this new technology, because the new technology evolves so quickly. Yeah. So it's challenging, but it's also hugely interesting.
Yeah.
And I saw, actually, as we were coming in there was some beautiful equipment that I saw on the coming up the stairs there. What are they?
Yeah, I call it our museum.
Okay.
So we I like to keep one kind of copy of all the significant products that we've made over the years, just to have as a memento. So there were some projectors. So the way Super 8, from a consumer's point of view, evolved is that, first of all, you bought a reel of film, which was not exposed, and you put it into your camera to record your video.
Okay.
You then went home and you edited. You guys spend an awful lot of your time editing today,
yeah,
but it's a different type of editing to those days. In cine days, you physically cut the film,
that's right, with a
and blade, reinserted it into a different part of the film.
You spliced it together manually.
You spliced it together first with glue and later evolutions. We used actually tape to splice it. So the way cine was used is you record, you edit, then you review. So we have editors there where you would review your edited cine film, and then finally you would have a projector that would then project your final edition, your final outcome onto a big screen.
It almost seems more fun back then than it does now.
Yeah,
challenging.
Yeah, it's more challenging, I suppose. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, we're kind of spoiled really now in regards to what technology is allowing us to do versus a manual process back then. And, you know, even we think about it here when we take photos or even video. You get it wrong, okay, you can just press delete. But I imagine if you got it wrong back then, it wouldn't be as easy because you've physical hard copy film.
Well, you didn't even know if you got it wrong yet because you couldn't check it.
True story.
Yes. Totally agree. I think the main difference is today you can instantly see what you're recording.
Yeah.
In the old days, with the old technology, you didn't have that. But also the other significant difference is in the way you can share modern content.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the reach that gives you is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, from the product ranges, I suppose, in the past that the company would have created and such like that, you've really evolved now over the years as well to become, in my opinion, quite a force in the photography industry. You know, so you manufacture your own products to your design, as you mentioned to a moment ago, and also as well you do distribution for quite a lot of products that people would be using on a daily basis. So from your product range themselves, Chris, what type of products would you have that has the Hainel brand on them?
Well, yes, so you're right in saying that we've had to reinvent ourselves a number of times due to the way technology evolves, and that went from cine through to video lighting through to slide accessories. And it wasn't until the late 80s that we got involved in what we call all these power solutions. Batteries and chargers, or power solutions as we call it, became our core business. Okay. in the late 80s, early 90s. And that was probably a very significant step for us. And when this whole digital revolution came about, we just found ourselves in exactly the right place at the right time. But today, Hainel Industries is more than just a manufacturing and an accessory company. We really have three parts to our business. We have the accessory business we've just spoken about, but we also have an Irish distribution where we sell our own products, but we also represent some other reputable photographic brands on the Irish market, and we do exactly the same in the UK. We actually call the UK and the Irish market our home market.
Okay.
By that I mean we go directly from Hainel Industries directly into the retail trade. Mm-hmm. We don't go into any classic resellers or distributors, as they could be called.
Yeah, and you know, from my own point of view, I've used quite a lot of products from Hainel over the years, you know, and batteries would be the main thing that I would associate it with. But then I notice as well now that from the charging point of view, you've come up with some very innovative products as well that not only make it easier to charge, but are really, really good. They're really very well made, and they're, you know, very, I suppose, competitively priced. You know, that's something that I've always seen. And I suppose from our listeners' point of view, if they've gone into a camera store and they're looking behind the counter, they no doubt will have seen the Hainel product hanging up behind the counter on a hook.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the comments on the products. And I would agree with you. People would recognize our brand more than they they would know it.
Yes.
And charging technology, you're right, as identifying that charging technology is very important to us. This is a technology we've built up over many, many years. Technology that we have improved, evolved, and we tend to put our heart and soul into our products. Mm-hmm. You know, we get compared to other brands doing what people believe are similar things. But I can assure you we are very, very product focused.
Yeah, it shows actually, you know. I mean, you've got Hainel products there, but
yeah, like I love all the Hainel products. Like the extreme batteries are one of my favorites. Like they're really powerful, and they stand the test of time. Like I have a Hainel battery at home for a Canon. It's an LPE6, so it's for a Canon 6D 5D Mark III. I must have it at least 5 years, and on the Canon you have a recharge performance. Do you know the 3 bars?
Yes,
it still has 3 bars, whereas some other batteries that I have are. They're ghost. They're dead. They're gone.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite parts of Hainel, and we haven't even got to it yet, is customer service.
Yeah.
You know, so if there's something wrong, like Alana, a girl that works for me, assistant, one of my assistants, she had a 7200, just like the one that's sitting here in front of us, and she dropped it, and she brought it into Whelan's Cameras, and they sent it down here to get it done. Man, it was fixed so fast and sent back to her. And there was a need for it because, look, we're working photographers and, you know, she needs to work for me. She needs to work in weddings and she's a very, very good photographer, but I need her out in the field. So it was great to see, get her lens fixed back in a couple of days, like, you know.
And actually, that's a good point. And I suppose, Chris, if I put that question across to you from a service point of view, not a lot of people would know that they can get their camera equipment repaired here in Ireland rather than a delay in sending something to the UK or further afield and such like that. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Well, the lens you're referring to was a Sigma lens. Sigma is a brand that we represent on the Irish market and have done so for many years. And in fact, our relationship with Sigma dates back to 1986.
I was 3 years old, just to let everyone know.
from the very beginning, it became quite clear to me that selling is one thing, but servicing a product is equally important, and especially with a product like optics, it's actually far more technical than people would imagine, especially today. In 86, when certainly when I started with Sigma, lenses were very mechanical,
okay,
optical instruments. Today, lenses are as much about firmware updates as they are about optical performance. So it's amazing how things have changed. And you're right in saying that of all the products that we distribute, so that means products other than our own products, we're completely self-sufficient. By that, I mean that if there is any warranty work, or more importantly, out of warranty work, which you mentioned in your case, where a product is dropped, just malfunctions, well, for Chris, whatever reason, we have a facility.
She left it on the roof of a car and drove off.
Yeah, I don't think that's good for a lens, you know.
with her camera attached to it.
we have the facility here to effect all repairs, be they mechanical or electronic, for the brands that we represent. And I think that is a service that has certain values, not just to our dealers, but also to the people that matter most, which are the consumers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, I mean, if somebody has a Manfrotto tripod, for argument's sake, and they've got an issue with it from whatever reason, and they bring it back into one of their retailers, more than likely, it's come down here to Cork to be repaired.
Correct. Yeah. And it... something that's nowhere near as involved and as technical as a Sigma repair, but again, you know, we are totally self-sufficient in terms of
that's brilliant
repairing, but also supplying spare parts.
Yes,
for Manfrotto, which is another brand that we represent in the local market.
And you know, you said it a second ago there with Alana in regards to getting the lens coming back, right? How long would it have taken if that had to be sent away?
I don't want to know, to be honest. Yeah.
So too long. From a professional photographer point of view, if you've got an issue with something and you're waiting for it to be repaired, that's downtime. Mm. So you cannot earn any money if it's your lens that's gone, or if it's your camera body that's gone, or whatever it may have been. But the fact that, and that's what I love about, I suppose, the industry, and particularly because from the Irish point of view, and as you said, you know, it's self-sufficient, that if I have a product that I've purchased, I can get it repaired very, very quickly, get it turned around quickly, and it's done by somebody here, as opposed to sending it over far, far away, you know, far, far away. It's like something out of Shrek, but it feels like it's far, far away, you know?
Yeah, whereas it can take time.
Yes, and to quick turnaround, you know? And I mean, look, you know, so far within the podcast, we've had, you know, really good feedback and good conversations with the guys in the retail trade. And it's really important from a customer service, as you mentioned it, Dermot, customer service point of view, to have the confidence in the product, but also after, if you've got an issue, it's how quick that can be turned around, you know? And I really like that. And, it, you know, we kind of touched on it here. What type of products, people may not necessarily know this, but, you know, it would, when they go into the local camera store, there's a huge amount of product ranges that are there that you guys are responsible to enable them to be in the shops that we can use them. We've touched on Sigma, and I've mentioned Manfrotto. Mm-hmm. But there's a number of other products that you guys would have in your suite as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're quite lucky, and I suppose this is also a kind of a result of the way the market is evolving. I mean, it's no secret to anyone that the imaging industry has shrunk.
Yes.
Quite substantially over the last number of years. And as the market consolidates, we've managed to kind of secure some really important photographic brands and their distribution for the Irish market and some even for the UK market. So in Ireland, we obviously sell our own products, and Sigma, you mentioned already. Then we represent Manfrotto, Lowepro, and Joby.
Okay.
Three very important yes. brands. But then we've also taken on some more kind of recent brands. We distribute a range of gimbals, which is almost a new product category that didn't even exist yes. a number of years ago.
Correct.
Hugely exciting and interesting area, with a company from China that are called Feotech. Mightn't mean anything to your listeners, but a really proactive and progressive company. We also cooperate with Tokina, and you know, I don't, there must be other brands that just kind of yeah. slip my mind at the moment. So there's a vast portfolio of products.
And you know what? I mean, look, as a user, I'm thankful for you guys to be able to get all those products and have them inside in
We're
the
lucky.
Stores. Because at least I can go in and I can talk, you know, to Gareth, or I can talk to somebody in the store and go, hi, I'm looking for this product. Yeah, there it is. I don't have to go online. I can buy it in Ireland, which is what I love. And I always try and buy everything as I can from an Irish point of view, you know?
Yeah. It's like you go to a clothes shop, you can try it on, and you can feel it on your skin, and you can again test it out, and if it doesn't fit, you get a different size. It's the same thing as a camera. If you go into a shop, you try these things out, you get the feel of them, you get to touch them, whereas if you buy them online, you really don't know what you're going to get, whether you're going to be happy with it or not.
Absolutely. And we're very lucky in this country that we mightn't have a huge number of these stores, but we do have a select amount of really professional specialist photo yes. dealers in this country. People that are passionate about their business, that understand their products, but I think also understand their customers.
Yeah.
And they're the type of kind of retailers or partners, as we call them, that we like to work with.
Yeah.
You know, and we try in a small way do our part so these dealers can offer the best service to their consumers.
Okay, so guys, we're just going to take a quick break from our special sponsors, Hanel Industries, and we'll be right back in just one moment.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hanel Industries. Hanel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hanel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. Chris, you alluded to in the first half of the podcast the history of Hanel Industries and the products that you supply. What is in store for Hanel Industries in the future?
Right, that's an interesting question. Well, traditionally, as I mentioned earlier to you, this whole area of power solutions is very important. Power solutions to us means just plainly batteries and chargers for cameras and camcorders. So it's important to remember that we come from a market that has gone through huge transition. For many years, when we had this transition of technology from analog to digital, our market went through what can only be described as explosive growth. All digital cameras required lithium-ion technology. So there were many years when Hainel Industries purely concentrated on digital camera batteries and charging solutions for the same. And quite often we got a little bit criticized for that, certainly from some of our bigger customers in the UK and in Europe. Quite often they would challenge me and say, Chris, you're only a two product company, you know, I need a supplier mm-hmm. that can give me more product ranges than that. But as I mentioned to you guys earlier as well, is we are very, very product focused. And our strategy traditionally was always concentrate on your core business and try and do that better than your peers. And that was our strategy that we followed while we were in this market that was growing at over double digits every year. Mm-hmm. Then what happened is as the business evolved, as the market began to stabilize and then started to decline, we saw the need to digress or to increase our portfolio, but only doing so very selectively. So we never want to become an accessory company that supplies all product categories. We only tend to look at areas that make sense and areas where we can add some value, where we have some core technology. One of the areas that we started in the early 2000s was this whole area of remote controls for DSLRs.
Okay.
A category that today, in terms of turnover, probably isn't our biggest category, but I can tell you is definitely the most fun.
I was just about to say, it has to be the most fun, like, because the capture pros and all that, is that, that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Like we did a VSP on one of them, I think it was yours, Darren, and I went into Whelan's to do a video with Brian from Whelan's, and he was going through with everything, and my God, I just thought it was just a trigger, but it's so much more.
But the feedback we get from consumers that have bought one of our remote controls, you know, the images they send us, and just the kind of the feedback to say that, look, this image I couldn't have done without your remote controls, be that a guy that's doing rally photography that can now put his cameras into situations for safety reasons he could never put himself,
yes,
thereby creating images that are far more dramatic than anything he could do before. So this is an area that's been, honestly, I can say, it's been really great fun, and an area that we have invested a lot, because it all has to do about wireless technology.
Yes.
You know, this communication between the remote control and the camera, which started with simple infrared technology, evolved to FM technology, mm-hmm. and today we use 2.4 gigahertz, which is a frequency that's actually quite close to Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And it gives us the opportunity then to add these features that you talk about in the Module Pro, where we can give triggering by light, by sound, by infrared, by laser, and also add an auxiliary input.
So cool.
So that was one of these areas where it diversified. And then another interesting diversification that happened at Photokina 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago at this stage, was this decision that we entered into Speedlights.
Yes.
And I'll be quite honest with you guys, when we launched Modus, as we call all our Speedlights, at Photokina 3 years ago, a lot of my customers looked at me and said, Chris, the last thing the world needs is another Speedlight. and I would have to say they were right in saying that. But what brought us to this area were two key technologies. A was this area of wireless technology, and it's an awful lot of this work that we have done with our remote controls and the capture system. It's that same technology that we use today in Modus in order to make Modus a wireless Speedlight.
Mm.
The second thing that we did is we introduced a new power source to the Speedlight. Rather than using the traditional AA batteries, we introduced a Speedlight with lithium-ion technology. And I think it's quite true to say that, you know, lithium-ion is just the ultimate power source for a speedlight. You know, I fully expect that you will see lithium-ion in speedlight introduced, not by most, but by all manufacturers sooner or later.
And it actually makes sense when you think about it, and from where Hanel has come from the battery point of view, to it's a perfect marriage to take that battery into the speedlight. And you know, I've used them, you've used them as well, yeah. And just the recharge time is ridiculously quick. The amount of times that you'd be able to get a photograph like out of one battery. You've got some statistics, I believe, in regards to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, today we only supply one speed light, and that's a 60 guide number speed light. So that's a speed light of quite powerful dimensions. You know, it is extremely powerful. As I said, with our battery on full power, on one charge, the lithium ion battery supplied with the motors will deliver a minimum of 600 shots.
Wow.
Important to put that into context to a set of AA batteries. So a set of quality alkalines, a Duracell on Energizer set of alkalines, will deliver at best 100 shots. So there we have, on one charge alone, we have a huge amount of added value that we bring, but that's only part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, Darren, the beauty about lithium is the refresh rate, and the refresh rate is four times faster than an alkaline, but it's four times faster than an alkaline that is brand new.
Yeah.
One of the key differences between lithium and alkaline technology is that lithium is very stable in discharge, so the refresh rate of 2.5 seconds our battery delivers when it's new. It delivers the same refresh rate after 100 shots, after 200 shots, after 300 shots. It's only at the very end of the discharge cycle,
mm-hmm.
does that recharge time increase. On an alkaline, you'll notice you guys are probably using AA powered speed lights today.
German more than me, yeah.
You probably noticed the recharge rate deteriorates quite quickly.
Now, the Modus, right, I had them, and I talked to you off air a while ago about running a grotto every year in a shopping centre, and I used the Modus last year for the whole thing. And I put the Modus, I have a main light and a key light, like every photography setup. Very boring light setup, but that's what people want. That's hey, you're coming to see Santa, you know, just a simple picture. But I'd stick those flashes in, and they'll do a whole shift of seeing Santa all day long. And I can't tell you off the top of my head now how many photographs I take in a day, but it's quite a lot.
But you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it, that, oh, my battery's going to go low there. Or, as you say, the refresh time or the recharge time, or the before you can take another photo again, it's constant the whole way. Mine as well will be through the
Absolutely.
Battery.
Absolutely. I quoted you the number of 600.
Yes.
Don't forget, that's 600 flashes at full power. If you're using a flash in TTL, it's quite likely that flash is never at full power.
Yeah.
You know, so we've done some tests. You can expect to get in excess of 1,200 flashes out of one charge.
Now, and then I know I wasn't shooting TTL. I just set up my flashes at a certain power because I wanted minimum editing possible. So if everything's the exact same, I just go home into Lightroom and go synchronize, export, done. I don't want to see them. You know, it can be stressful.
But again, you weren't shooting in full power.
No, not at all. No, I think I was shooting at an eight power, if I'm being correct, and a quarter and better.
So it's quite interesting that, you know, since we launched Modus, that even companies like, for example, Profoto, that quite recently introduced their A1, which they market as a studio light, but in my opinion, is really a speed light, are also using lithium ion technology.
That's right.
So you can see that, you know, you will see more and more of this, and I firmly believe it's the ultimate power source.
It's the way forward. It's like, even my father-in-law, he plays golf, right? He's terrible at golf, but he loves it. No, I'm only joking.
I hope he listens to this to hear that.
I'm only joking. He's actually quite good. But like, he has this power caddy, a golf cart, and he had this big battery block in it. Sure, I don't know what age he is, but he's getting sick of it or whatever. It's getting too heavy. So he found out that he could buy a lithium-ion battery for his golf cart. And it's about a quarter of the weight of the other thing.
Yeah.
And it lasts twice as long.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's a no-brainer here.
Yeah, yeah.
And the interesting thing for us as a company, if you look at lithium-ion technology in general, it's one of the most interesting things to be involved in because it's the car industry and the renewable industry that's really driving that technology. Because if you look at the capacities that we supply in a camera battery or with motors, it's of tiny proportions to what an electric car will require. So I certainly expect for lithium technology to improve dramatically over the next few years. So to get back to your original question, it's taken us a while to get there. You know, what else is there to see from us in the future is if I can is borrow the right idea, the right kind of word for this, if I can borrow some of the advances all these manufacturers are making in lithium technology and bringing some of that advanced technology into our markets, yeah, what you can expect from us is batteries that last longer, that charge faster, you know, speed lights of wireless communication that is better, more reliable, and more versatile than what we deliver today. What you won't see from us is a huge explosion into new areas because we are, as I said earlier, quite product focused, and we like to bring products to the market that are a little bit different and bring more added value to some of our competitors, because a typical consumer in our market today is a quite a demanding consumer. Mm. People that take pictures today are passionate photographers. I want to bring products to the market that are relevant to those passionate photographers.
And reliable as well, which is the biggest aspect,
yes, of course,
too, you know.
Yes.
Like, I've got products that I bought, you know, and I thought they were going to be great, but they weren't good. And I ended up buying the proper ones. You know, so for example, from the Hainel product range that's there, every product that I have, and not that I'm saying it because we're here, but every product that I have that's a Hainel product, it stood the test of time. I've never had an issue with it.
Buy once, cry once. It's your own fault for buying crap.
Yeah, buy cheap, buy twice.
But you know, guys, it's also to do with the fact that we love what we do, we're passionate about our products, but it's also an interesting thing when your brand is also your family name, it puts a whole different perspective on business. Sometimes myself and my brothers, you know, make decisions that maybe other brands wouldn't, because it's our family name that's on the product.
Yes, and I suppose the benefit then as well is that you can, as users yourselves, you can go, okay, no, this works, but feedback from people as well is quicker to get to you guys as opposed to a big conglomerate, let's just say, that may not necessarily be listening to their end users.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my late father always said we're guilty of many things, but one thing we're definitely guilty of, and that is we probably over-engineer our products. Mm-hmm. But that's something I'm quite happy of being guilty of, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Good complaint.
Yeah, you know, and I think, look, even listening to Chris there from the future, it's going to be quite exciting, you know. And like, we're, just to paint a picture for our listeners, we're sitting in a showroom of products here of the full suite, and looking around here, I see some fantastic products, you know, and
shiny stuff.
I've had to put handcuffs on Dermot because, you know, he'll get divorced if he wants to get everything that he has here. But actually, you know, Chris, on the podcast we have a segment called a VSP. Mm-hmm. And for somebody who's our first time listener, VSP stands for very solid product. So it's a product that, you know, we believe in, that we've used, it's tried and tested and stuff like that. It would be, you know, it makes sense for us to pick a product that we have here, but not from me or Dermot. So from your point of view, what would you think would be a very, very solid product that, you know, people would be interested in hearing from the suite of products that you would have?
Well, we probably have two or three categories that are products that are kind of uniquely Hainel products, and one of the areas that I'm proud of is a product that we call the ProCube, and that's a product that was only quite recently evolved into a natural upgrade, if that's the right way of putting it, and it's a product called the ProCube 2, basically a twin DSLR charger.
Okay.
By twin charger, I mean it actually charges two DSLR batteries parallel.
Okay.
There's a lot of companies on the market that provide and supply twin chargers, but quite a lot of them are actually what are called sequential chargers. So they charge one,
yes,
and one battery is charged, it switches onto the next battery. ProCube 2 is charges completely parallel. You can put two batteries into this charger of completely different charge levels. So one can be totally discharged, one can be nearly full. The charger will analyze each battery on its own, will okay. switch off the full battery as soon as it's fully charged and continue charging the second battery that was almost fully discharged. It comes with a mains adapter supplied with both the European, the Irish UK type plug and the American plug. So if you're traveling, you can charge it anywhere. Brilliant. It comes with a 12 volt lead, so you can top up your batteries when you're on the go. And it also comes with a double A tray, because okay. we call the ProCube Duo the ultimate DSLR charger. And we say that because a DSLR customer needs to charge his lithium battery for his DSLR.
Yes.
Secondly, more than likely his AA batteries for his battery grip or his speed light. And the last thing he needs to charge is his mobile device. And the ProCube 2 also has a USB output to charge your mobile phone or your tablet.
That sounds amazing. I'm looking at it here, you know, and I'll just throw a question to Chris. I don't know, maybe he'll say yes to it. I don't. Chris, can we take one and we can give one away to our listeners and our group?
I'm sure that could be arranged.
You're very bold.
I know, but look, you have to try, you know. Like, you have to ask a question in real life, really, don't you?
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission, is it? Best to ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Exactly, yeah.
So
exactly.
We make a pro group for Canon, and basically that Canon then charges all the current Canon DSLR batteries, a Nikon version, a Sony version, an Olympus version, and a Panasonic and Fuji version. So if your user takes any one of these camera systems, yes, I'll be happy to supply.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, that's fantastic.
Going back to the VSP, the Cube, it's ironic now that you've picked that, Chris, because I did the VSP a number of weeks ago, and the Pro Cube won the first iteration of it. What's the biggest difference between the ProCube 1 and the ProCube 2?
There's a number of differences. First thing, we've made it a little faster.
Okay.
And we always look at optimizing our product. So this was a natural evolution. The second thing is, as I mentioned, in order to take care of different batteries that different cameras or different brands and different cameras use, the ProCube has an interchangeable plate system. On the original ProCube,
that's right.
That plate was connected through a little cable. The ProCube 2, this is completely wireless. Mm. So it's a much easier way of changing the plates. But to me, the most significant change in terms of the original to the ProCube 2 is the way we charge, and the fact that the LCD on the front of the ProCube 2 actually gives you a readout of how much capacity the charger is putting into your battery.
Okay.
So in some way, it's actually a battery tester. So if your battery is fully discharged, your battery is supposed to be 2,000 milliamp, the ProCube will tell you how many milliamp of charge have gone into that battery.
That's cool.
So it's our first way, it's our first step in terms of the evolution of our charge technology. At the moment, the communication between charger and battery is only one way.
Yes.
The charger is charging into the battery. I foresee that in the future we will have two-way communication in terms of not just the charger putting energy into the battery, but also the battery communicating back to the charger in terms of what capacity it's still delivering, how many cycles the battery has already done,
yes,
and how fast it can be charged.
That's so
interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
Really, really interesting. I think, you know, well, as our listeners would know, Dermot is kind of all about gear, you know, so he could sit here for 4 days, I suppose, talking in regards to these items that we have. But, you know, we've taken enough of Chris's time, I think, actually, today has been really, really insightful from my point of view. Chris, I really, really enjoyed that, Dermot.
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I'm like a child here at Christmas because, like I said, seeing all the shiny things around the place. Like, even from the second you walk into the building, it's just... it's lovely and clean, first and foremost, cleaner than my house. And then you see all the toys, then they're not toys, they're products.
Toys, you know, for photographers.
Toys, yeah, for photographers. So, Chris, thank you very much for having us down, and we've really enjoyed our time here. And thanks
You're welcome
for
here
coming
anytime.
On to the podcast.
Okay, guys. That's all for me to say is, you know, shlong a fall.
Thank you very much.
Ayo.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.